Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, son. Hey. Is this for the dirty weekend?
This is the 4-day trip to Elsbells, if that's what you mean.
Same difference, isn't it?
That's right. It's the same hilarious carry-on team, the same hilarious faces, and a few new ones like Jimmy Logan.
All ready for a wild weekend, eh?
And June Whitfield.
Yes, they're all carrying on where they can really carry on.
They're putting soap on, haven't
they? Abroad.
Wonder Tours especially chose Elsbells for the perfect holiday weekend because of its wonderful sunshine record.
And something you can't muck up.
Who else but the carry-on crowd could pack so many gags and so many bags into one trip abroad?
It's easy, now. Thank you.
Join Sid James, Kenneth Williams, Charles Hawtrey, Joan Sims, Bernard Breslau, Barbara Windsor, Kenneth Connor, Peter Butterworth, Jimmy Logan, June Whitfield, and Hattie Jakes on a cook's tour of surefire laughs. They're all off on a wonder tour. It's a wonder any of them make it.
Yes, I can honestly say I've never had one quite like it.
Could I have another one, please?
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just start and ask about them, and Bond-related ones, obviously. Hosted by me, John Rain. This week we'll be packing our trunks, smothering ourselves in cream, and heading to a car park covered in builder's sand to see which one of us will die the youngest. Yes, it's Carry On Abroad. And joining me to do blooding leapings of the frog over some mints are a right lovely royal pair of knockers, Dan Thomas and Paul Litchfield. Hey!
Hello!
Knickers!
Carry On Abroad, then.
Carry Jesus On Abroad.
Christ. I'll say, I hadn't watched... I know you two have affection for the series, and I used to watch them a lot as a kid. My sister, for some reason, had a VHS copy of every single one, up to but not including Emmanuel. Oh. Because we were kids,
right?
And I used to watch them a lot, but I haven't seen them in 25 years, so I didn't really remember.
What?
Yeah, I haven't really. Occasionally I'd see one of the old ones on TV, like, but the black and white ones are a little bit more classic. Mm. Like, I Carry On Cabin, Carry On Regardless, I must have watched a little bit of recently. But when you get into the 70s, they become almost sexual fever dreams.
Yeah, I think that was the 70s in British comedy, though, wasn't it? They were just making softcore porn.
Yes. Yeah. And well, this actually, is soft, softcore porn.
I mean, to be honest, the only one that is remotely anywhere near softcore porny is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
You get occasional flat foot. Well.
Carry On England has got tits in it. And it's still a PG.
Yes, I know. But I mean, the whole point of, I think, in these Carry On films is nobody actually gets a bit of it. No. They all want a bit of it, but they never get a bit of it. You know?
Yeah.
They're obsessed with crumpet, but they never get to have crumpet.
Mm. Yeah, but this was a few years before everyone, respected British comedians were doing films like Drop Your Knickers, Miss Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Donald Sinden is fingering in. Yeah. Fingering exactly. Fingers.
Join James Robinson Justice in The Anus.
Alfie,
what on earth is wrong with my anus?
Alfie Bastard loads them, didn't he?
Oh, filth.
Mm. I think he was in Come Play With Me.
Jesus Christ.
That's a real
How do you two have a fairly encyclopedic knowledge of the 70s filth?
Yes.
Sometimes.
It feels like every... The thing is, these movies are real... I was looking into it. These movies were blockbusters. Like, the Carrion films were blockbusters. I saw a stat that when this... So, first of all, this came out on December the 15th, 1972. In Britain, in the 70s, this is a Christmas film. Right? And then when it came on TV in 78, 18 million people watched it.
Thing is, it's fairly aspirational cinema, because not many people in those days could afford to go to the car park at Pinewood Studios.
He's right. He's absolutely right. And we must not confuse this, because this is Elle's Bells, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the Costa Blanca.
No.
Now, the Costa Blanca is where the Grace Brothers department go in Are You Being Served the Movie, which I'd like to believe is being filmed like 4 miles down the coast simultaneously.
Or around the other side of this car park.
Exactly, right the other side, which is, of course, a wonderful film where they stop a revolution via Mrs. Slocum's Union Jack Knickers.
Yeah, which when I was a kid...
Which they hoist up to a flagpole.
When I was a kid, that happens at the end of Carry On Abroad, in my mind, every time.
Yeah, absolutely. I always used to flip and flop between them all, never knowing which one was Elle's Bells and which one was Costa Blanca.
They're very similar films.
So this is...
I keep mixing up Zulu with Carry On Up the Khyber, so...
Very different soundtracks.
Yeah.
Because Charlie Hawtrey has his own theme tune in Khyber, because he's called Officer Whittle. Of course he is. And his soundtrack is... And if Zulu started like that, it'd be a different film, wouldn't it?
Richard Burton going, it was a dark day in Africa.
Whittle!
Someone dub that, please.
Please.
The thing that surprised me about this is, considering they were, 20 films into the series at this point?
Yeah, it's how good it is.
Broadly, it looks terrible. It looks remarkably cheap. But I remember, Carry On the Khyber and Carry On, Follow That Camel, some of the, what's the one that sees that Carry On Dick?
Caesar.
Carry On Dick.
Well, no, Caesar looks all right. Carry On, Dick. The one not at Caesar. C.
Oh, C. Sorry. Carry On, Dick. Yeah.
Oh, it's C.
In my head, they look.
Carry On, Dick is Dick Turpin. The C one is Carry On, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's right. Yeah. Yes. I keep mixing up Dick
and
Jack.
I'm furious.
I remember them looking quite good.
I keep mixing up Dick and Jack.
One comes before the other.
In fact, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, this looks like it's been made for about 30 quid. Because just this looks like it's Pinewood.
They had access to Pinewood and a bunch of sand.
Yeah. Builder sand as well. It doesn't look like beach sand.
No.
All you've got to know is that all those beach scenes, they're obviously freezing.
Oh, God, yeah.
They probably filmed it in October and it's just like, oh, God.
And I looked into this because I've got the wonderful book, which I recommend everyone buy. It's called Carry On Confidential by Andy Davidson. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I looked into this because it gives you every bit of information you want to know. I wanted to look into what outside locations, if any, were used in this film.
Yeah,
So the only outside location in this film is Wonder Tours, which was filmed in the High Street in Slough.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Elle's Bells Airport is the security block of Pinewood Studios.
Which I've been there.
You've been there. You got a story about that?
Oh no, Lorena. I was just like, I looked at it. I went, that looks like just a security building. And then I realised because I worked in Pinewood for a couple of days once, and I mean, it doesn't look like it anymore. It's all paved over with a glass now. But they just were like, where should we film the airport? Should we do it 30 feet away, just past the canteen? That's how cheap this fucking film is.
Yeah. And Approaching the Hotel was filmed on the back lot of Pinewood Studios. That is all the locations for this film.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you mentioned cheapness. I remember once filming an episode of Banged Up Abroad where I played a dodgy drug dealer, and I was supposed to be in a hotel in Thailand. So I was in a hotel in Watford, and they put an orange lamp on and a Buddha statue next to me. Ta-da!
And no one was any the wiser.
No one was any the wiser.
Whereas I, this poor June Whitfield apparently signed on thinking that it was going to be shot in Spain. Like nobody had ever. Nobody had any money off this apart from Gerald Thomas and Peter Rogers, who had a fucking mint, didn't they? Nobody else got residuals or anything.
Sid James got paid in erections, to be fair.
I think they just had to film near the nearest racecourse for Sid.
Yeah.
I think that was probably in his
mind. I heard a story he was sponsored by a whiskey company to start leaving bottles of whiskey label out on set before he got caught.
In fact, In fact, it's in one particular film where they literally call him Mr. Boozy. It's one of the hospital ones because he's got an elixir on his island, and he trades in whiskey.
Is that Carry On Again, Doctor?
So he's literally. I mean, in this one, I mean, this is Charles Hawtrey's last Carry On because he's a hopeless alcoholic at this stage. So they go, "This is what you're doing in the film, you Charlie. Just be you." Mm. So just be drunk throughout the whole thing because that's what you are now. Bless him.
I did know that before watching it, but there is a melancholy quality to this film.
Yeah. But talking of which, Tilbert Rothwell writes these, and he's always very good at doing the... Because every Carry On film has got Carry On, whatever film it is, and then he'll put or, and he'll give you his... The titles in this one's are terrible.
What are they? I can't remember.
What a Package. Meh.
That's not bad.
It's All In...
This one,
good pun, but it has nothing to do with this film. Ready? Swiss Owls in the Snow.
What does that mean?
It's like piss holes in the
piss
snow.
Piss holes in the snow, yeah.
Swiss holes in the snow.
What's a Swiss hole?
Swiss holiday.
Oh, Swiss hole. Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but they're not in Switzerland and they're not in the snow, so it makes absolutely no sense.
God.
Yeah, I can't even unpick that. That doesn't make any sense.
You'd want
AIDS of the glands. That's a weird one.
Put it in your arsehole.
Spain in the back.
Shove our film up your arsehole. What? What's that doing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it must follow the rule of three, surely, because you've got Water Package. You're thinking, okay, not bad. We're building up to something. It's All In. All right, this is going to be a belter. Swiss Owls in the Snow. What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
And we never got a skiing carry on. We never got a skiing carry on film because it would have taken them ages to paint all that sand white.
Yeah, that's true. And they could have called it Carry On Pieced.
Oh yeah, that would have been one of the titles, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah,
Carry On Pieced. I mean, it's all there in it.
We should do what everyone does: is just write a carry on film, get it to a certain point in production. We're like. Someone, but they pretend to cast people and then say, no, it's not happening. They've been doing that for 30 years.
And there is a Bond connection, I believe, isn't there, John?
Yeah,
and it's a really obvious one. It's a stupidly obvious one.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy who shot this called Alex Hume. Alan Hume, sorry, I always go Alan. He shot Octopussy and View to a Kill. And Return of the Jedi.
That's just brilliant.
Yeah.
The thing is, I guess he was one of those people who was just hanging around Pinewood. Pinewood, especially from the, well, at this point, was still like, literally the best techs in the world were working at Pinewood. And imagine all the cinematographers just gathered around drawing the short straw. Right, you can do Godfather Part 2 and you're doing Carry On Abroad.
I imagine Peter Rogers just walked into the editing suite or somewhere in Pinewood and was just like, I'm just going to go in here for a sneaky fart so no one can hear me. And he did that, and this bloke just like woke up on the sofa with newspapers on. What was that? Oh, Alan Hume, what are you doing in here? Looking for a cinematographer. It's lucky you came in here, Governor, I tell you.
That's a good voice. I've never heard you do that stock voice before.
Oh, I've been working on that one.
I'd like to hear a bit more of him. He sounds great.
That's lovely.
I'd like to shoot this film, Governor. It's like someone turning up to do The Force Awakens, isn't it? And going, J.J. Abrams, my name's Alan Hume. I've shot Come Play With Me, Anus with James Robinson Justice, and I'd very much like to shoot your Star Wars picture.
Right, I've just looked him up. Alan Hume at this juncture was 38 years old.
Oh, but he must have been on set going, God, bloody! Sorry, no, actually, I'm talking about one of his other films.
Yeah. He did that on Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
And Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this guy wrote books. He's written his memoirs. I'm buying the arse off that.
Oh, yeah, you got to buy that and report.
Life Through the Lens, Memoirs of a Film Cameraman, foreword by Peter Rogers and Kevin Costner.
Bloody hell.
What the fuck? Kevin Costner.
What the hell?
The unmade Carry On Robin there.
Wait. No, it's I misread it. It's very small in my phone. It's Peter Rogers and Kevin Connor. I don't know who the fuck that is.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it's... Is it not Kenneth Connor? Kenneth Connor, perhaps?
I never forget when Alan Hume, he set up the shot and he said, I think in this one you should make your knee twitch. It'll be hilarious. And he was right. Where did that come from? I didn't realize. I watched it again. I go, oh, this is something he does every time he gets sexually excited, Kenneth Connor. He just twitches his leg a bit. Like, yeah, and people went, oh, he must be horny. Who's ever done that when they're horny? Who gets restless leg when they got the horn?
Well, Kenneth Connor, of course. Mm. I mean, look at the scene in the coach when she has to locate the keys. I mean, he literally has about 9 orgasms.
Yeah, yeah.
He's basically doing his own version of, like, Deep Throat, except he ejaculates every time a woman touches him.
It's the idea that someone puts a hand in your pocket and, of course, it's immediately, right, it must be on my cock now at all times. Yeah. And he just spends the whole thing going,
and he must be hung just like one really? Of those wimpy Cumberland sausages things.
Yeah, yeah, it curls back up. Yeah. Yeah.
Like 3 Shire horses.
Anyway, so we begin with the beautiful visage of Sid James's face, well, not photoshopped, analog photoshopped, onto lots of sort of holiday destination scenes.
Yeah.
And he's working behind his pub.
He's called Vic Flange.
Well, he keeps saying Flange.
Yeah.
Is it a bucket bouquet thing?
I just think he said the line wrong and they just can't. Yeah. They're on such a budget, they don't do any editing. So.
We've got 6 minutes to shoot this film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's working behind the pub, which I believe is called the Whippet Inn.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, brilliant.
The Carry On pub. He runs it with his wife, who's Cora, Joan Sims.
Yeah, Joan Sims.
And he's chatting to Sadie Tompkins, played by Barbara Windsor.
With her tits out, fully out.
Her tits out, yeah.
Also, I just want to point out, this is the worst pub I've ever seen in my entire life. There's no atmosphere. There's no music. There's a box on the bar that says hot food that has just got decaying rolls in it.
Yeah, like you see at petrol stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a hot dog. No, I'd like to live, please.
Yeah, it's like steak and kidney pies and collapsed Scotch eggs, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the dialogue is immediately exhausting because it's like, can I have a pint? What, of my cum? Yeah, or something. I forget the exact nuance of it.
Large
but that's
one. Have you got a large one? I've had no complaints so far.
Forever.
Yeah. I tell you what, I bet the bloke who owns the Sam Smith pubs watched this and was like, that's a great pub. We should make more pubs like that.
This is a business model idea.
You get thrown out for saying any of these lines in Sam Smith because you're not allowed to talk in there.
Oh, that's true, yeah. You're not allowed to do any of that. But it's the standard set-up carry-on, which Sid's now done 30, 40 times, which is, oh, when I go away, have a bit of nookie. Mm. And the wife's like, well, no, you're not. I'm coming with you. Oh, gold. That's basically that.
Do you think Jack Douglas is happy with his work in this film?
With his work getting work? There's two different...
You see, the thing is, I think Alf... What's he called? Alf Ipatus? Ipamus?
Right.
Him, I think he's a character that works for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, but you know what? Every single time he does his boy, boy, I just collapse with laughter. Yeah. Every single time. And he's wasted this film because he's in the beginning and just the end, isn't he?
I think that's John's it. Right. He's more of a spice than an ingredient.
Yeah. Because when you watch, what's the one where, is it Karen Behind where he goes away with Windsor Davis?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they want to show two girls. They want to show the two girls their fishing tackle, which is their ginger quill and their Wickham's fancy. Because Windsor Davis turns around to Judy Gleeson and goes, "Would you like to see my Wickham's fancy?" That's just beautiful. So sorry. Oh my god. And do you know what? I mean, if I was casting a Carry On Bond. Because I just want to get a bit of Bond in.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely think Jack Douglas is Q. I immediately thought Peter Butterworth. But then I went, what is not unfailingly funny as Jack Douglas is Q trying to explain to Bond, which obviously would be Sid, how his gadgets work, and then midway going, free! Like spraying him with poisoned acid or flamethrower. Because obviously, maybe he'd just get it all on himself, wouldn't he? I cannot think of anything funnier than Jack Douglas going, now pay attention, Bond.
You know. I love that. But he wouldn't get it. Actually, he wouldn't get it because he's always unscathed, didn't he? It's just, we pan out and he's just destroyed the old place. He's like, get out of it. And then he's fine. Mm. And he just wanders out. But St. James is on fire.
Exactly.
And yet somehow still getting sucked off by someone.
Or you could end it with him, Sid James, going, "Thanks very much, Q," and leaving. And then he leans on like a pen, and it goes, and you hear like a thump. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, oh, the poison missile," and collapses.
Yeah, yeah, just out of shot of you, it's full. He collapses. Anyway, that's not why we're here.
No, because he comes into the pub and says, "Well, how's it going, everybody? I'll have a pint of a fooey." And Vic says he's going. He says to Vic, "What are you up to?" And he says, "I'm going on holiday." And he goes, "Oh, really? Where are you going?" And he says, "Oh, somewhere abroad." And then Joan Sims goes, "So tell him where you're going, Vic." And he says, "I'm going to Elspeth." He goes, "Oh, really? Sadie's going there for me."
Why is your Jack Douglas David Bowie? He's going to Hell's Bells.
Station to station. I don't know why he does that, but yeah. And then obviously, then immediately the wife is like, "Oh, is he? Oh, I see." And now she's immediately, "You're not going away on all day, Vic Fenn, for a bit of crumpet."
"But you don't like flying, Cora," he says.
Yeah. But she's like, "Well, fuck that, I'm coming with you."
Yeah. Actually, she has got quite a nice language because, "I don't like mopping either, but it's better than you finding some other scrubber."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I like
David
Joan
Mamet
Sims in this.
Wrote this bit. Yeah, she's.
I love Joan Sims in this because Joan. I don't think Joanie ever really had the opportunity, I think, in many of the Carrie films, if any, to play the sex interest. She's often played women who wanted it, but people were absolutely reviled by her, like Patty.
Which isn't fair because Carrie on Cowboy, she's the hot one.
Yeah.
She's like the brothel madam, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from Texas, man. We've all got big ones down there.
That's right, yeah. Where you see Ken Williams again giving his amazing accents.
Master of voices.
Yes. Go on, Ken. Do your American. All right. "Oh, howdy, partner." Oh, that's just amazing, Ken. Wow.
But talking of Ken. He goes to Wonder Tours the next day. He's playing a character called Stuart Farquhar.
Stuart Farquhar.
Stupid fucky whore. Okay.
he's the representative of Wonder Tours, and he's got his assistant, Moira Plunkett, played by
Gail
Granger.
I know, and I think most people always immediately think it's Valerie Leon.
Exactly. It was supposed to be, wasn't it?
Yes, she couldn't do it. Mm. And I must admit, Gail Granger is, I mean, she's beautiful, isn't she?
Yes.
She's a stunning-looking woman.
Mm. And she wasn't in it anymore, was she?
Sorry. What happened there?
Miss Cranger, you're squashing my itinerary.
Yes.
That's not dirty! What? The thing that winds me up is that you develop these rhythms of things that sound like a joke, but aren't.
Exactly, yeah.
And I wonder if, because even on the page, that you're squashing my itinerary, did Talbot Rathwell have to go, "Please deliver as if a joke"?
I'd have double joked it. I'd have had him, you know, pull up his clipboard and check it's all right, and then it pan out and his nuts are hanging out. And then he'd go, "But by itinerary, of course, I was referring to my gonads."
I think that might be interesting because they keep trying to do another Carry On film in the spirit of the old ones, but I think something that would be in it much more interesting is a Carry On film taken to its logical conclusion.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Which is everyone's got an erection at all times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every man has got a boner, even the extras.
There should be a carry-on film, you're absolutely right, Dan, where they strip it all down. So basically Vic goes up to a woman and goes, "Can I see your vagina, please?"
yeah, exactly.
She goes, "No, I'll call the police." "All right, then I'll move on to the next one. Can I see your bumhole?"
Yeah.
And then it ends with him in jail.
The Dennis Nielsen story starring Sid James.
But you are right, yeah, itinerary doesn't work, but it's just anything that could just be misconstrued. It's like, "Oh, that's a big plate," and then you have a whistle at me.
I was going to say, I wonder
why
if
Talbot, is plate rude?
I wonder if Talbot Rothwell put, "This gag doesn't really work. Please could Eric, was it Eric Rogers did the music?
Yeah.
"Please could you insert a swanny whistle here, please?"
I think that was a noted swanny whistle. Mm. Was just
if you need a swanny whistle at the end of a gag, you know that it's not
I mean,
that
there's a great
gag.
One coming up near the end.
Yes.
Because this is the other joke that I quite liked here. He said, "Shall we get them out?" And Miss Plunkett went, "Mr. Farquhar."
"Mr. Farquhar."
"No, I mean the passengers."
Yeah, the thing is...
So she immediately goes, "Yes, this is the perfect time to get my tits out."
Yeah. This woman...
This
right?
is the ideal opportunity for me in the middle of a business-based working day... In the public, on the was it in Stroud, whoever they're fucking Slough, to just get my knockers out.
If she was this easily confused, That's, first of all, it's a cognitive disorder that needs to have a look at.
Right? Yeah.
But she wouldn't be able to maintain a job. Because she interviewed really well, but then she was confused by simple words like, out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when she had her interview, they'd be like, well, we're very happy to offer the job. Would you like one?
Yeah,
like, in this office? Oh, all right. And she starts getting her pants down. No!
Yeah.
No!
There you go. Madam, you've got a very impressive curriculum vitae. Oh, thanks. I've just had it shaved. What?
Yeah, just can we all just calm it down on set, everyone? What is going on? She's not like any of you actually had sexual intercourse.
Never, they're all virgins. They've all got massive blue bag ball bags.
They must all just go back to their rooms and just dry hump the mattress. It's like,
they're like little dogs when you get little dogs home after a walk. They're just like... what I noticed as well is that Vic Flange...
Yeah, Flange.
He's only bought a tiny little suitcase.
Yeah, they're just full of Johnnies.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. He's done the Revenge of the Nerds method and just tipped
it. I'm not sure. I don't think. Thing is, he doesn't need Johnny's because he'll never have sex. But like you say, they're just dry hump. He's like, I don't need a Johnny. I just jizz in my jeans. What? I just do. What's the suitcase?
I don't even think it'll be that. It'll be like grey talcum powder coming out of your rusty hose pipe. No one can ever get pregnant from that.
Yeah.
Like a fine dust.
But it might just be a just add water thing.
Yeah, but then it solidifies into concrete.
Which they then use to complete the hotel.
Someone has a baby. I'm so sorry to tell you that your baby did make it. However, it did weigh half a ton.
We slapped his ass and did some structural damage. Etc. Yeah.
Get that swally whistle out of here. I'm trying to do
so what you get now... So I really like this bit where they're all coming onto the coach because they're setting the scene for the ragtag bunch of people.
I'll say this about this one scene because I was uncharitable. I was talking to John about this last night. The camera goes... When they have to put the camera on the bus to get the shot of the people coming on, someone's forgotten a tripod because the camera work is shoddy as fuck.
Yeah.
It looks like the Bourne Ultimatum for no reason.
But Dan, can you cite any other Carry On films where the camera work is chef's kiss?
What I will say is they can usually, I mean, you make a fair point, but usually they were at least stationary.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like you wouldn't feel like, I think, that this is too heavy for the cameraman who's about to have a seizure.
He's probably about 50 in bright red smoking a fag as he's doing it.
That's, yeah, yeah. Oh,
cut. Oh, my God.
Maybe the problem is that they actually got Jack Douglas to do that work.
Get in here.
Go on, Wade.
Well, of course, you do forget about the 20-minute one shot in Carry On Cowboy.
Yeah, that's beautiful, yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So they're all getting on the bus.
Yeah.
And this is lovely because there's a woman in it and she always plays this character. She's the mum of... she's Mrs. Tuttle. She's...
Charles Hodge's mum.
Yeah, I looked up. She's 5 years old, younger than him.
Yeah.
That was my note. Why is she the same age or younger than Charles Hodge?
I think we're supposed to think that Charles Hodge is like 19, 20 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the actress is called Amelia Bainton, and she does exactly this character verbatim in Carry On Camping, because she in Carry On Camping is Joan Sims' mum.
Right.
Going, make sure you pack some toilet roll and don't let Sid get in a tent with you. You know what all men are like. And she's doing exactly that, but now to Charlie Hawtrey's, yes, mammy, yes, mammy.
But then we get Kenneth Connor and Gene Whitfield getting on the coach. And that's, as you mentioned, trying to get his pass out of his pocket.
The other pocket! The other pocket!
We better, 18 again,
metric litres of cum coming out of the bottom.
I was going to say, in our meta carry-on film, you just go, just like a massive gush of spunk going out the back window of the coach.
Like a shotgun.
Like an errant hose.
The whole coach is just full of white gum.
It's like that bit where they blow up the ambulance in heat. It's just... But spunk.
Oh, God. It's because they're just on a knife edge all the time of wanting to ejaculate, aren't they?
And then you just cut back to him. Everyone's covered in spunk. And then he just goes, it's the back pocket.
Yes. Yeah. Back pocket, falls asleep immediately. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, we must mention... The two mates, because obviously you've got, one's played by a guy called David Kernan, and then you've got his, as it says, implied gay friend.
Yeah.
Which what the hell is this dynamic?
Don't know.
Who knows? Because they're certainly not a couple.
No.
Although maybe John Clive, who's the camp guy, thinks they're a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then midway through the film, literally, his mate goes, essentially, fuck off, you old queer.
I always assumed that John Clive had paid for them both to go on the proviso that he would have sex with them.
He might get a knee trembler on the last night.
Or maybe, is it possible Kernan is a rent boy? And I'm genuine. Is that...
That's possible.
That feels too real for a carry-on film.
I was going to say, and that also implies like a lot of research and writing, so no.
Yeah. Also, that didn't happen. David Kernan was somebody... Was he Kenneth Williams' archenemy?
I was going to say, because Williams refused to talk to him.
Yeah.
But really?
We don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, and John Clive, who plays the very sort of like acerbic camp guy, I didn't know this, he plays Ringo's... He does the voice, of John Lennon on
John Lennon.
Submarine.
Yeah.
In what?
Yellow Submarine, the animated film. He does it, John Clive.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. What?
Yeah.
You did that as well. Okay.
It's time. The time.
He's also in The Italian Job. He's when Michael Caine goes
to
his car back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I know him. He's brilliant in that.
Mm. I was out shooting tigers. You must have got a lot. Yes, I use a machine gun.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So, what? Yeah, but you're right, Dan. What is that relationship between two mates? It looks like John Clive is trying to groom him on a holiday.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it doesn't help that he's got that kind of weird afro.
Exactly.
Yeah. But next getting on is Burt Conway.
Yeah, this is... And I don't want to obviously detract anything from, what's he called, Jimmy Logan, but he's my weakest link in this film.
Yeah, he's rubbish.
He's not very good.
No, his whole thing is he wants to fuck everything.
Yeah.
Does not fit into a carry-on film.
No,
it's not canon.
He's in the wrong film. He should be in Sophie's Choice.
I wasn't aware of this guy's work, but I looked him up. No. He's like a proper respected Scottish theatre actor and impresario.
Yeah. I only know him from this.
To be honest. I think most people
same. Yeah, yeah, same.
Oh, and we've also got Sally Geeson and Carol Hawkins.
Who are literally going on holiday to get as much cock as they can find.
Yeah, seems like it.
That's
essentially
what they're all like. Oh, he's not good looking. No, he's not good. Oh, Jesus H. Corbett girls.
Well, they're like, none of the men on here are any good. And then Kenneth Williams is like, well, we're expecting 12 more men. And they're like, oh, blimey.
Which is horrible implications already. And the idea of it, they take on 6 each.
Well, I was going to say, they must have been doubly happy when they find out a load of monk was getting on board.
Yeah. I think those men are holy by the end of it. You should see her.
We get Bernard Bristow playing, I would wager, his most sensitive part ever.
Yes, it's in my limited notes of he's not a psychic and he's not a thug.
No.
For the first time. And he plays a very nice, pleasant little chap. Well, huge chap, but a really nice, mild-mannered man.
This and the BT adverts were sort of the only time he really got to play that side of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was married to Maureen Lipman.
And his story, you know, obviously with, I can't remember which one of the girls he eventually ends up with, is actually, I mean, it's obviously, he constantly accidentally rips off her clothes all the time. But,
yeah.
He's just very sweet and she finds him very sweet. Mm. And that's actually like such a weird little carry-on thing to have
And he's hung like a baboon.
I just realised, I mean, he's a big lad, isn't he? Mm. You see him in that pants, he's big. I just realised, Bernard Breslau's character in this has the exact same story arc as Gene Hackman in The Poseidon Adventure.
Carry on going down, that would be
good. Oh, God.
I can imagine, we can't go too far, we'll all get the bends. Oh!
Yeah, exactly. And then in comes Charlie, oh, hello, not that kind of bends! Etc.
Let's see how long you can hold your breath for.
Oh God, because Shelley,
I saw his barnacles.
Shelley Winters is basically Joan Sims as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But then so Bernard Breslau and all his monks get on, which sounds like a jazz band.
Oh, I do love it. At the start of the scene, they go, "We've got 12 men coming on," which is supposed to be these monks, but they're like six guys get on. It's like, change your script. Yeah. You couldn't get enough monks. Just admit 12. It.
I guess they think that the leader, the one who looks like the man from Are You Being Served?
Yes.
I guess
yes,
they thought
he looks like Mr.
Rumble,
doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Babs gets on.
Yeah, Babs gets on. And, oh dear, she's got a rather large briefcase, hasn't she? And Vic decides to help her.
Well, Jimmy Logan comes
in. Or whatever he says. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that the moment where Jimmy Logan goes, he's talking to somebody and he sees there's two girls and he goes, that's jailbait.
Yes.
And then Babs comes on, who's maybe 8 months older than him. Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah. Well, also, it's not that he's afraid of going to prison. He says, that's jailbait. Tell your father he'll come and thump you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Just, what?
Yeah. Good luck with
and
that.
And he should talk to him for 12 seconds because he'd be like, oh, no, these are fine.
Yeah.
These women are filth.
Yeah. But yeah, she gets on and he goes, I'll help you with your suitcase, wee lassie. And she's like, oh, no, it's got a broken. And then all their pants and bras fall out.
She's only packed bras and pants.
Only packed bras and pants. Because this is written by a man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, of course. Yes. Bags and pants.
Women only pack pants and bras. Just adding that to my comedy notes there. Talbot Rothwell.
Well, we've already established Sid is just full of Johnnies, one copy of the Racing Post and some pipes. Yeah. That's all that Sid is. Mm. We know that Charlie Hawtrey's is just full of booze.
And Joan Sims and June Whitfield's suitcases are full of pants and bras.
Yeah. But very sensible ones.
So on the arrival, so they go to the airport and Joan Sims is like, oh, I thought we were getting a coach all the way there, you silly woman. Can't drive to Costa Blanca.
No.
I know it isn't Costa Blanca, but I like to think it's the same place.
Sales.
They get to the hotel and it's not finished. And that's when we meet Pepe.
I should say, this is, to my knowledge, the one and only VFX shot that was ever in a Carry On film.
A big matte painting, yeah.
Big matte painting, yeah, of the missing two floors, yeah.
I love this scene because I spotted something recently that I'd never spotted before, and it makes me so happy now I've seen it.
A tiger.
I wish. Peter Butterworth sees the coach coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, the builders are fucked off. They give him a V. And he has to go running back in to tell everyone that all the guestings are comings.
Guestings.
Because how Peter Butterworth does Spanish is adding ings to all his words.
Yeah.
He runs up the steps, right?
Yeah.
And as he runs into the foyer of the hotel, if you look, he's got bare feet.
Right.
When he goes back out to greet them in his concierge outfit, if you look carefully on the steps, there are two trainers in the cement.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now, I've seen this film at least 30 times, and I've never noticed that.
I noticed it the other day, and I was just like, that's a brilliant joke.
That's a great little throwaway gag.
Yeah.
That's, oh it says a lot of Carry On from the cleverest joke in it is one that they've gone, we don't want to make too much of a thing about it.
Well, if you look carefully, the shoes are fucking each other.
Yeah. With a slide whistle.
Of course they are, yeah. Yeah. And if a woman walks past, all the shoelaces go, whoop, correct.
And the tongue goes, works, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, even inanimate objects want to fuck now at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. An animated Carry On film would be a fucking cheese
dream. Well, that's like Fritz the Cat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Don Bluth did it years ago. so they get there, and one of my favourite jokes, well, before that, actually, we meet Hattie Jakes in the kitchen, and she's talking about the blooding stove.
The blooding stoves and the cokings.
And he says to Ray Brooks, playing Giorgio, waking up, making readies. And then Kenneth Williams walks in and says, hello, I am Stuart Farquhar. And he goes, stupid what? And then he goes, no, Stuart Farquhar. Sid James goes, he was right the first time.
The idea that even Pepe would have heard of the term stupid fucker is just amazing.
I love it.
It's a really funny joke.
Peter Butterworth is the heart and soul of this film, I think.
Absolutely, oh, yeah. He's stunning in this.
Because he's the only one who has a plot. He has an aim because he has to keep his hotel going.
He does have any sense of through line, doesn't he? He has to keep his hotel standing up, literally.
Yeah. Mm. It's everyone else's plot, Liz. If I don't spunk, someone's going to fucking die. And that's not a carrier. That doesn't carry a 90-minute film.
Henry Porter of a serial killer. and then we get the lovely joke where he's like, I'll go and get the manager, he comes out dressed as a manager. I'll go and get the bellboy, he comes out dressed as a bellboy.
I love all that.
But basically what happens is that the hotel's not quite ready.
I do have a question about this. So they haven't finished the building. There is still cement mixes out the front. And yet when we see him run through, the restaurant is finished. Not only finished, the plates and cutlery are out.
Yeah, but they can't serve any food, though, because the blooding stoving won't work.
Blooding stoving, and all you're going to get is fishings and chippings.
Or chippings and beanings.
Sorry, chippings and beanings. What's really lovely about this one, weirdly as well, is Kenneth Williams' character. He's another position of authority, but actually his character is quite soft and gentle, very forgiving.
Yeah, he's sympathetic in general. Yeah.
Very sympathetic. He just genuinely wants them all to have a good. I suppose he just wants to save his job as well. But he's not playing someone who's necessarily cruel and nasty and angry all the time.
Well, not only that. Later on, spoiler alert for the third quote unquote third act, when everyone is basically on Quaaludes or something.
Yeah.
Everyone else is dry humping each other, and him and Mrs. Plunkett are just sitting in a chair with their cheeks against each other, grinning.
Yeah,
that's what his sexual need is.
Yeah. No, I reckon that's the shot after he's just come.
Oh, yeah.
That's after he's apologised.
No.
Yeah, but you're right, because Kenneth Williams' thing in Carry On films, like 99.9% of the time, he is someone who needs to be brought down, and in the third act is usually him getting his comeuppance.
He's always the villain, isn't he? Yeah. Nine times out of ten.
Nice to see him as a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
But then they go and look in the hotel, and things aren't quite right, because June Whitfield doesn't want to share rooms with Kenneth Connor because he's probably going to be up all night wanking.
Literally humping the side of the bed.
Actually, without the context, because we find that out later in the scene, the first thing she says is, I do hope you're not going to use sharing a room as an excuse to start that nastiness again.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, well, before we know, I mean, I want to carry on from, but it's, I mean, listen, if I'm going to shoot up heroin, I'm going to, all right?
Yeah. Also, you're on your holiday.
Yeah.
It's the one time when you can.
So all he wants to do is set up a little train set and drive it up his bum.
That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
See how much Hornby. Hornby.
How much Hornby can get up his tunnel. That's all he's trying to do.
No, the script says horny, not Hornby.
So obviously he's never had sex with his wife, possibly in 20 years.
Once. Oh, yeah.
I think that was an accident, though. I think maybe he'd had a wank in the bath and she got in.
Got you.
Yeah.
She had a water baby.
Yeah, exactly. But he goes out on the balcony so he doesn't have to look at his wife getting undressed. And then, of course, two young ladies are right there and he's slapping the back of his neck.
And he also does this sort of weird horse name thing that only Kenneth could do really well. The idea of slapping the back of your neck, that's a very Eric Morecambe-y thing.
I love Kenneth.
That sort of thing.
I love
Kenneth. I do as well. I think he's absolutely stunning. Yeah. I love him in this one as well. Just that pent-up sexual energy. It's just very funny.
Oh, God. Him and Alo is just a feast as well. With
his dicky ticker.
Oh, my dicky ticker.
Oh, yes.
So then when Peter Butterworth comes in and June Whitfield's in her undergarments.
Yeah.
I like it that he goes, you're a very lucky man, beautiful lady. And then he goes, and boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom.
And boom, boom. Which should have been boom, boomings, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's like, do something. And then as he goes to do it, he leaves. And then she goes in the bath. Hello.
Sat there with his booze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His bath is actually just full of gin.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Bless him. Bless him.
And then John Clive goes to put his clothes away, but they fall through the bottom of the drawers. This is important.
Nice sight gag. Nothing wrong with that.
Even yeah. as yeah, a kid, yeah. that used to that wound me up that bit because he opens a drawer. Yep. We can see him looking into the drawer.
Yeah.
And he still drops the clothes through the drawer.
Maybe he thinks it's a portal.
Maybe he thinks it's an invisible drawer.
He thinks right. it's a portal to a dimension that's got the same carpet.
You laugh, but he drops that through. And if you watch Poltergeist, it flies up and goes in the dad's face.
Yeah, first thing you see is, is Joan Sims Cardi.
They're here.
It's linked to other films.
Yeah.
First thing that comes out the screen is an animated penis. St. James Cock comes out the telly. They're here. Well, actually. Horrible.
Oh, God. It looks worse than that.
Yeah, so that goes in the drawer. Because this, I genuinely like this joke because it's been thought. It's been thought out.
Brilliant. I get the impression it's reverse engineered.
Right. Like
he's written
yes.
a sentence and then thought, how can I make that work? I think that's the only way you.
Yeah. How can I get to that point? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because their wardrobe has no back to it, so Bernard, Brother Bernard sees them in their underwear. Sand comes out of Morris Taps, and the lavatory goes all over Bert Conway.
Yeah.
Jimmy Conway, sorry. So then when they phone to complain, they get this lovely sentence, which, you know what, I wish I'd have written it down.
Basically, the gist of it was, I opened a drawer and I got shot in the arsehole.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the pre-C version.
And sand came out the end of my cock. Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to say, that bit where the sand comes out, I just, from a production point of view, going, how do you force sand out like that to make it look like it's pouring out? Because sand's solid. So I think the hotel set is one of the more impressive things they ever did from a production standpoint in the Carry On films. Because they have to build it and it looks decent and then they have to trash it.
Yeah.
The hotel was built on an Indian burial ground. Another connection to Poltergeist. Charles Autry rips his face off in the mirror.
Hattie Jakes as Tangita.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. This house is cleansed.
Played by Dom DeLuise.
Oh God. So it's built on it's built on an old Indian old music hall burial ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Arthur asking to come up. Yeah.
I've been in the back room with the boys, hello.
Yeah, you can have all that going on. Yeah. You have Max Wall suddenly come up through the sink.
Chicken man.
Yeah. Norman Collier. Why wasn't Norman Collier ever in a Carry On? He would have been perfect.
He'd been absolutely. He should have played the Scottish bloke in this.
No, he should have just literally one thing. Just go past. That sort of thing, you know. What was that about cock? And then, you know, that's that done.
And Giorgio should have been played by Duncan Novell. Could you take these bags up and chase me? Anyway, so the phone system itself is faulty. And yeah, they all get the message in the hilarious way. But Stuart Farquhar is determined to ensure that everybody is going to have a good time.
Yeah, good time.
So then Brother Bernard sees Charles Autry take the girls away and say, come on, just one more time.
Oh, this fucking scene. Mm. Right? Well, he walks out and he hears, one more time, just bend over. Let me do it again. Right, and then when he sees him bent over, I don't. First of all, I think he thinks that Charles Autry's going to take a running fuck at him. And then when he sees him leap over him, he smiles like, oh, that's fine then. Wait a minute. A middle-aged man jumping over young ladies isn't all right either.
No.
Especially when he's just heard them go, we're not really up for this.
It feels like a Jordan Peele film.
That's what I've been saying for years.
It still sort of looks like a sex game, doesn't it? Mm. Even though it's Leapfrog, it still looks like he's getting his jollies at. Like,
there is a
he's
man
getting much more jollies out of it than they are.
There is a drunken man rubbing his balls up a young girl's back, right?
Oh. It rubbing his testicles up women's spines.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So. That's when he accidentally rips off one of the girls' skirts.
Yeah.
And then, much to the shock of the other monks, they're like, Brother Bernard, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot
Meanwhile,
of...
we cut to the kitchen.
And he doesn't defend himself. When he goes, listen, first of all, Oh, I don't even know how this happened, because it doesn't make any sense. Now I'm going to explain how elastic works. And they should be like, oh, fine then. Like, I haven't been out here sexually assaulting anyone, if that's what you're thinking. This fucker's been rubbing his balls up spines. Right, so you can lay off me straight away.
You should literally have a list. Look, since I've been on this coach, there's a man with a constant erection. There's a Scotsman trying to molest two women at the backseat. This man is permanently drunk. There's someone called Vic Flander who's actually fucking the window at this point. It's insane. Steaming up the window, drawing tits on it, and then fucking it. What is going on?
I so feel leave like me I'm out of it. I'm in for a lot of this.
Yeah.
You'll wonder why I'm losing my faith.
God.
But don't worry, because it's all. Yeah, it's dinner time, and here we go.
Hattie's trying to light the oven, and she can't.
Bloody calkings in stovings!
Pia Bubworth goes, use the cock!
Use the cock.
You're meths in it, meths. And then he says, cock stove is more dependable than electricity's.
Electricity's.
It's not that weasel. Moment.
Nobody, even by 1972, was using the word coke instead of coal as a word, right? No. To the point where Kenneth Williams has to explain the joke to the audience. Yeah. He goes, cock, oh, coke, stone. Right? So, yeah, we got it. We sort of figured it out, Ken, but cheers.
Imagine if Butterworth had gone, no, cock. And then he's just got loads of bodies in the cupboard where they've chopped their cock off.
He's got a bucket full of cocks. The hotel.
Yeah. Now it's just like a Jordan Peele film.
That sounds
yeah.
like a Davy Jones viz. Strip, doesn't it? Peter Butterworth's wheelbarrow of cocks.
Actually, you know what? That's what I want to see now. I want to do that straight version of Carry On film. David Cronenberg's Carry On Crimes of the Future.
Oh, yeah. God.
So then we get the great scene with Mr. and Mrs. Blunt having dinner with the Flanges.
Yeah, and I will say this is hand on heart my favourite ever gag in any of the Carry On films.
And mine. Yeah, I thought about this the other day before Johnny mentioned Carry On.
I think it is a
Carry
beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful thing. It is so well done. Oh,
also, the
it.
First line I think just breaks the ice perfectly. Where he says, "This is the wife. Don't laugh.
Yeah, don't laugh." Yeah.
But yeah, then we get the great joke everybody loves of I tried.
Would
it
you like a drink? Like yeah, no, thank you. I tried it once, didn't like it. Oh, fair enough. Would you like a smoke? No, I tried it once, didn't like it. My daughter's the same. Just the one, I presume. And then what I love is Kenneth Cutter immediately goes, and then realizes, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's perfectly done, this scene.
It's isn't
absolutely
it?
Amazing.
And
what I will say is, doing a meal. Yeah, it feels like, do you want a drink? No. And then immediately a cigarette instead? Then, well, no, we are in the middle of a chicken dinner, but thanks anyway.
Yeah,
but you need it for the gag, and everyone delivers it so well.
Mm. It's beautiful. It's the fact that it's the willfulness of Sid to go just the one and then immediately laugh at his own joke. Like, immediately. Like, the most fierce, forceful laugh at what you've just said.
And
I love it.
Peter Byworth offering people the two choices of dinner, which is sausage and chippings or beans and chippings.
Or beans and chippings. Haven't you got anything else? Yes, you can have beans and chippings, sausage and chippings, beans and chippings.
Doesn't he serve them soup? And then they say, you try it. He goes, no, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the joke. I thought they were going to serve foreign food. And this is foreign food. You don't think we eat this muck? Oh,
that's that's right. Yeah.
So then the smoke bursts into the room. Oh, I forgot to mention as well, there's the scene where Sid James can't open his balcony door.
Oh God. Lovely.
So Butterworth walks through it and unlocks it from the other side. That's always fun.
I never noticed, though, that Peter Butterworth walks through the other side because there's no glass in it and then pulls down the bolt that is on the inside.
Yes, pulls down the bolt on the inside. But that actually is lovely because that foreshadows a gag later on where Sid walks through the window, which is brilliant. And he goes, they put bloody glass in it! like that's a complaint.
Now this is my question to you, because the smoke pours in from the blooding stoving.
Yeah,
he opens the doors, a million mosquitoes come in.
Yeah.
Where were they earlier when there was no glass in the doors?
Well, they
can only fly to ground level.
Yeah, they can't. They can't fly. They can't fly through matte paintings. So
fair enough. and then it's again we have to explain the joke.
Like, yes.
Bloody mosquitoes.
And then Hattie comes in with that most amazing traditional whatever that thing at the spray can to try and help them. It's brilliant.
They all get woken up by the blooding buildings.
I love it because they just why do they strip back a ceiling when it's already established in there?
I don't. Yeah. I was going to ask this question.
Why bring it off again? Yeah. Yeah, take it off.
Are they going to clean the air? Yeah.
Exactly. And then wave at them in bed. And then Sid gets to say, "Piss off."
Mm.
You hear him mouth it because there's too much noise. Going, "Piss off." And I think that's the rudest thing ever said in a Carry On film.
Definitely.
Because everything is, you know, hiss off and that sort of thing. You know, they pun it. He actually basically goes, "Fuck off." And you see him mouth it. It's like, wow.
And one looks down at Babs and is like, "God, blimey.
Bloody gnawings."
The action.
Tease the language.
So then the Scottish man falls into cement.
Yeah, and again, if we're going to quibble, he falls into cement and he's immediately back upstairs into his room in under 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's Seb Coe as well.
Like he's a fucking X-Man.
Yeah. I do like the way he flicks cement onto Pepe, though. It's very funny.
Yeah, he's good.
I
looked it up because I assumed this. I looked it up. It's porridge.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Grey porridge. Hmm. So then they're all having breakfast. And I really want, if anyone can tell me where I can get this, the coffee set they're all using.
Oh God, that is not. I thought that was very lovely as well.
Beautiful.
Isn't it stunning?
Yeah, I tried to look it up and all I got was pictures of carry-on cups and things. I don't want that. I want this brown tea set.
Oh, you got those pictures of huge jugs. Etc. And I like that Charlie's breakfast is just at the bar. I mean, he just points to the glass. He doesn't even say fill it up, just points.
So Kenneth Connor says to Joan Sims that she's a very handsome lady.
Yeah, now this bit is, it's so far it's been quite chaste. I have written at this point, this is, broadly speaking, a sexual assault.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first she's like, that was a sexual assault. And then the next scene they're in, they're like, come to think of it, I quite enjoyed that sexual assault. And she's very flirty with him.
I think the difference is, in real life, it doesn't go...
Yeah, because I think you could be in any courtroom and go, well, Your Honour, I touched them and they went... And the judge would go, case dismissed. I wouldn't mind it going myself. You know, because John is right. If they make noises like...
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Breasts should never fart.
Can you imagine being a lawyer specialising in the slide whistle defence?
If only Harvey Weinstein had thought of
it. Christ almighty. As he's going up the steps with his little water, with his, I was going watering cans with his canes. Not guilty.
Imagine if he walked up the stairs and it was just fadum fadum fum fum fadum fum fum,
with his big fat hairy man tits jiggling. Horrible.
Yeah. Was it Johnny Cocker who said, if the slide whistle blows, you let him go?
There you go.
I believe was the defence.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sid goes up to see Babs, and she's upset because the night before in the bar, Sid told Babs that she murdered her two husbands. Now, I was confused by this. I even messaged you, Paul.
Yeah, you did.
In Wikipedia, it said that Barbara Windsor plays a widow, and I was thinking, and I've seen this film lots of times, and I'd never picked up.
No, I thought she was a widow. I thought it was a story that Sid had made up to put off the Scottish guy. But it turns out she is a widow of two firemen.
Two firemen who both died on the job. Ha ha ha. I don't know if she means that she fucked them to death or.
I don't know. Well, they tried to have sex with her and they caught on fire. I don't understand how it works.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you know it, Joan Sims catches him.
Of course.
Because doesn't her bra, bikini top fall off or something?
Yeah. Somehow.
So meanwhile, one of the younger girls takes a bit of a shine to Brother Bernard.
Yeah.
And they're having a little chat because she's sunbathing. And the other one's next to us.
Well, they're outside. Yeah. Sunbathing's pushing it.
Yeah.
They're lying under a lamp.
It's October the 14th, 1974.
I've been to Spain, and occasionally you do get grey skies, but you don't get dirty British grey skies all the time out there. It's disgusting.
Oh. And doesn't she ask him to put sun cream on her or something?
She asks him to put sun cream on it. He does, but he gets excited and just goes... yeah. and squirts it all out all over the other one, who's like, sun cream, even though I'm sunbathing.
Yeah. Even though I was going to ask for sun cream in a bit, and then it goes over the guy's... But they are genuinely acting like he has just...
Spunked all over.
Spunked all over.
I can't believe you've covered me in the very thing I was going to ask for in a second. I'm furious with you.
But we get another... Brother Bernard!
Why have you come on a woman? It's like... I haven't. It's sun... Again, Bernard has to go... Look, it's very simple. I had sun cream that I put too much pressure on the nozzle of the sun cream and something unexpected happened. The resulting arc of spume did, in fact, look a little bit like spunk.
Spume.
But... and I could see how, from a certain angle, it is misconstrued that a monk is standing over two sunbathing women and masturbating over them. But that's not
the case.
But
as you can see... My penis, unlike everyone else around us, is in. Yeah. Right?
And also, as you can see, I cannot come over an arcing distance of about 12 foot.
Although that would be a nice holiday game, wouldn't it? Set up like a javelin thing and see how far everyone can jizz.
Jesus Christ.
Jack Douglas would take a run up, wouldn't he? Hey!
Well, yeah, he's got superpowers, isn't he? If he grabs one of his cock and goes, "Foy!" then it comes, it must come out like a cannon shot.
Imagine if he could sort of temporarily fly by doing it. Like if he points it at the ground.
What, like Super Mario like 3, he tucks it between his legs.
Yeah.
Like a kind of... like a raccoon's tail coming out of his ass.
Exactly.
You know what, Jack Douglas is Superman here. Jack Douglas flying across the earth.
Imagine him fighting himself in a junkyard.
I say, take this for me.
You always wanted to fly. So meanwhile, John Clive's character has fallen out with his mate who I think he was hoping to have sex with.
I think so. Or drug. Who knows what his nefarious scheme was.
Because he likes the other girl now.
Yeah. And does he literally turn to his mate and go and just say something like, "Oh, go away, you old queen."
He says, "Oh, go away."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, I've never been so."
Oh. I have to masturbating on my own again.
Well, he's off to probably look at Giorgio, isn't he? Giorgio.
That would have made sense. That would have connected. Because that's the problem I have with this. We'll get in there later. That everyone apart from John Clive is happy.
Yes.
It'd be better if Giorgio was an old queen as well.
I don't quite understand the Jim Whitfield thing of like, so she's not happy with Kenneth Connor.
No.
Then she shags the hot one.
Giorgio.
For lack of a better phrase. And then when Kenneth Connor comes back, she's like, "I got fucked by a really good-looking young man now.
Yeah.
And I think that's warmed me back up for you, old pervert." Who's already got trousers crusted with jizz.
She's had a Shirley Valentine.
Yeah, she's had a holiday romance, hasn't she? Although she hasn't, is he? He took her around the back where the barrel and the kegs are, bent her over and just banged her for 10 minutes. Which is a horrible idea.
Yeah. His fake tan must have slid off during that time.
Yeah, and she's got fake tan where she shouldn't have any.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet when he takes his clothes off, he looks like Michael Jackson in the morgue.
Yeah. As soon as Kenneth Connor comes back and takes her knickers off, she's going to have a... when did you get a tattoo of Wilson from Castaway on your leg?
No wonder that flood started.
On both bum cheeks. Where'd you get them? Oh, my God. Oh...
What are these big brown handprints on your shoulder?
Oh my God. Just
but anyway.
Shitting shoulder and nowhere else. Oh God. A certificate 18 carry-on film has been released. Jesus.
Then they all go on the excursion.
Yeah, they go on an excursion. Stuart's like, "Come on, we'll have a lovely day out. We'll have an excursion." But the monks, they want to go somewhere else. They want to go to the monastery of Saint Never Had Sex or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so Bernie goes, do you mind if I go on the excursion? And he's like, "Well, as long as you don't come all over everyone." You know, he's furious with him. Just literally like, this is you are literally the wrongest man to go into our order. You're constantly ripping women's clothes off and ejaculating over them. Actually, yes, you go on the excursion. We don't want you showing us up in the monastery. So they go on an excursion.
Anyway, when they go on the excursion, they meet my absolute hero of the world.
Oh?
You're on a buy some postcards.
Oh, yeah, the dirty postcard man.
And then she picks him up and he goes... And then Kenneth really goes, and the man he goes, go away. And the man takes them back and then just runs off.
Thing is, he's sitting, and then Mrs. Plunkett comes over. Miss Plunkett comes over and says, oh, are they dirty? And like, but he, the guy is not playing it like a man who has got a handful of dirty, cartoonish Willy jokes. He's literally playing, oh, let's have a look at this postcard. Oh, this isn't really a postcard. It's just a recipe for Rohypnol.
Stay tuned for that.
Oh, yes, right.
But so, Vic sees a local drink, which is called Saint Celestia's Elixir.
Saint Celestia's Elixir, yeah. And basically, there's three stores selling tat, a man selling filthy postcards, and a brothel. That's what's in the town.
And the brothel is called Strip Tease with a Z.
Yes, there you go.
But the Elixir, when you drink it, it gives you X-ray vision where you can only see women's underwear.
Yeah, and very crucial, only women's underwear. You cannot, if a woman drank it, they cannot see men in their underwear because it would be repulsive if any of the carry-on team, you saw them in their 70s Y-front.
I bet they thought of that at the time, and then they all thought, I don't want to see Charles Autry in his underwear.
Nobody wants to see Charlie Autry in his undies, no.
It would be like that bit from fucking Pan's Labyrinth, wouldn't it?
I will say, Charles Autry gets his clothes off more... Oh, fucking hell.
Except in his case, it's got two little taps coming out. One dispensing wine, the other gin. Set of eyes. Yeah, so you get, not Valerie Leon, you get lovely, what's she called again? I keep forgetting her name, it's terrible, she's great.
Her. Gail Granger.
Gail Granger, obviously, and she looks beautiful. Mm. And Sid's all, oh, bloody hell! Like, literally, he's going to explode.
He growls and chases her, and she runs away not fast enough.
Mm. Yes.
Like, just off camera, there's an assault.
Yeah.
But she seems to be fine with it.
Well, this is... it's the world of Carry On, isn't it? So nothing, you know... Now we all go every single thing. If you just sort of, like, forensically Columbo every scene in the Carry On film, now you go, it's just rape. Constant rape. But it isn't at all in Carry On. It's just because they...
No, off-camera, he catches her. He doesn't know what to do. And then just slaps her in the arse and leaves.
That's the thing, yeah. He suddenly gets his trousers down. His Willy just goes...
Well, his Willy isn't there. Actually, if anyone got the trousers like off, it'd be like Alan Rickman in Dogma.
But there's a nice little story here because the lady running the brothel is...
Oh, Olga. Olga Lowe.
Yeah, the story is that she was the first person that Sid James worked with when he came to Britain.
That's right. And the last.
She was on stage with him when he died.
Yeah, and the last. Isn't that strange?
It is strange. I think she murdered him.
I was going to say, I think she's fucking cursed.
And guess what? She died, so she is. So they go into the brothel.
This Spanish town thing is all just filmed in a car park in Pinewood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine if... Because they used to have quite big production. Wouldn't it be just like Scorsese or somebody pulling up and somebody going, yes, this is one of the finest film studios in the world. What the fuck is that? That's a knocking shop.
That's Sid James chasing a woman.
That's a man selling dirty postcards. Are they making a film? Not really.
Charlie Horty doing piggyback with a bottle of sherry.
Which is just him lowering himself down gently onto it.
Yeah.
Oh. Mouth first, though.
Well, they all get arrested.
Yeah, so you don't really know what happens to cause that.
I've written here that all British films from this time had to have one scene where everyone rolls around on top of each other going,
Yeah.
And this is that.
Yeah.
So they get taken to prison.
This is very disturbing now if you overthink it, what happens here.
Because they
get put in jail. And they're all, we're British, you can't treat us like this, etc., etc. So then they get Mrs. Plunkett.
You spunked all over the fucking town. Looks like a fucking winter wonderland.
It's fucking Atlantis, and anyone dips their toe in it, they get pregnant.
You've turned this into a Spanish early remake of the end of Ghostbusters, you have.
if you listen carefully, it's literally going wow, 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 wow. It's so horny.
So they get put in jail, and they're like, this is intolerable. We demand Lala. So Mrs. Plunkett goes, I've got an idea. And she basically has sex with the chief of police.
Yeah. Which is horrible.
Oh, my God. That's what
we assume. She could just, he sends back food. Maybe she just gives him some recipes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she puts them up his arse.
I was going to say, it looks like she shat out a pineapple.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get this massive feast, and of course, immediately all the male carry on just fuck it, I'd imagine. Ah, chicken!
He comes in looking a bit dishevelled. Is like, you can all go as long as you agree to pay for the damage.
Yeah, so she's had sex with him or done something. Oh, dearie me. Yeah.
God knows. I mean, it just defies thinking about what she might have done.
It really, yeah, exactly.
She seems pretty happy with it.
Why do they send the food in? Because he says, here's a bunch of food. You can fuck off now. Yeah, just release.
Yeah, the idea is, no, we're going to keep you in jail longer, but here's some food. But
just farted
take
on all of it.
On everyone.
All of this is full of my cum.
Oh, God.
Try the profiteroles.
You say the chief of police has farted into individual cloches and then put them on top of the
Yeah.
This souffle is about to collapse.
They get a massive spread, and then they're let out of jail. Just let them out of jail, surely.
Yeah, exactly. I think they'd like
them. Anyway.
Yeah. So then back at the hotel, Stanley, Kenneth Connor, suddenly finds that June Whitfield's like a raging sex machine.
Oh, Stanley. She's all that, isn't she? Mm. Oh, and the other thing is they've all secretly bought a bottle of the naughty elixir.
Yes, because the last night at the hotel, they have a party.
Yeah, have an orgy.
Well, Kenneth Connor, not Kenneth Connor, sorry, Peter Barworth comes out and says, I bring you champagne cocktail thing.
Like punchings.
A big punch bowl. Yeah, champagne
punchings.
And then, as you say, each one comes up and goes, I'll have a look at that, and secretly pours a bottle of elixir in. Then someone else does, then someone else does, then someone else does. So now we're like, I mean, they're all going to die.
I was going to say, this is like they're all going to OD.
So this is what happened at Jonestown. I just wanted to make everyone see underwear. I didn't know everyone would die. I assume is what he sounds like.
Just wanted people.
I've developed
to see
a serum that. A scientist who's gone. I've actually got the ability. I've created a liquid. It's just a liquid, and you drink it, and you can see people's underwear. Right.
Are you going
to? Do you not want
to
tinker with the formula so you can see them butt naked? No. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Do you want to take that to some sort of lab or something? No, I'm going to sell it down at the docks.
I'm going to sell it down the local filth market in Bell's Bells.
Alan Sugar respects that. 30 years ago, I made a lotion where you can see people's pants. Look at me now. I live in bloody Florida.
Before he fires them. 30 years ago, I made an elixir you can see women's undercrackers. You're fired. Yeah, actually, I'm glad of that. I want out. So they all spike the punch bowl, and they're all getting very with each other.
Meanwhile, fucking riverbanks have broken.
Yeah, some. Yeah,
there's floodings.
There's bloody floodings.
The wall breaks, and a tiny bit of water trickles in, and Hattie Jakes is like, "Oh my god!" So Kenneth Connor, sorry, not Kenneth Connor. Why do I keep saying that? Peter Butterworth behaves like the boy at the dam. Puts his arse in the hole.
Pluggings, holings. Yeah.
So everyone starts pairing up, basically. So let me get this straight. So John Clive's mate, who isn't gay, has gone off with one of the girls.
Yeah,
Brother Bernard is now no longer a monk because he turns up wearing a nice yellow shirt.
Yeah.
So I think he's quit the order. And
he's
they're
quit
all
the
like,
order.
Brother Bernard! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Sid and obviously Joan are now happily in love, but we do get the joke where he says that she's had a roll, and then she says, I'd like a roll. And he goes, well, let's go upstairs then. And she goes, no, a sausage roll. And as he hands it to her, we get the... And the Scottish man's got together with Babs.
Yeah, and that's all fine now.
That's all fine now. And yeah, Kenneth Connor and June Whitfield are going upstairs for a bit of rubby bubby.
Yeah, and it's pretty much exactly the same ending now as carrying up the Khyber.
Yes.
Because in this one, it's Butterworth again who's the only one going, bloody hell, it's all going wrong, and everyone else is, oh dear, I seem to be a little plastered and all that. They're all just having fun, and the thing is collapsing around them.
But I was convinced for years that this was the ending of Carry On Camping, where they have the food fight.
Right. I thought camping is when they get rid of the hippies.
Oh, yeah. What's the one where they have the food fight?
Yeah, that's another one. Because I never understood the end of camping, where they all want to go and have fun, and there's a massive party with loads of young ravers. all beautiful women, and the one thing they want to do is get rid of them. I was like, no, surely this is the one thing you want.
Yeah.
And they get rid of them by the judicious use of putting rope in between their beads and pulling them out of a field. That's just insane. Yeah, it's not nice. It's insane. Utterly insane. Anyway, yeah, so they're all just like, I mean, again, no one's having sex. They're all just talking about it.
Yeah, we get Ken and his lady all cheek to cheek.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
Mm. And then they give Hattie Jake some of the punch.
Yeah.
But we don't see what happens to her.
I presume that's where the building collapses, because she fucks the structure off it. Off it? Is off it the right word? I do like the special effect, though, of Peter Butterworth holding the pillar. It looks really good. That whole pillar is about to come down, and he's the only one holding it, going, bloody hellings!
And John Clive just looks at him like,
oh, I wish I had a pillar to hold.
Again, he should have... Someone should.
Does he get a lead? Does he partner up there and just go out the front and fuck the cement mixer or something?
Yeah, I think he does. Puts his knob and turns it on. Oh. Anyway, so everything collapses and you get the crescendo there of Peter Butterworth. No, I've fucking done it again. Kenneth Connor neighing like a horse and jumping on Whitfield in bed, and the whole bed goes through the floor.
It's brilliant. It's a then, really funny effect.
We cut to the future. Not like... They're not like flying cars and stuff.
Well, it's not even that much of the future. No. It's like... So they've come on the Terminator Monday. This is now Wednesday. Mm.
This is after the bomb had dropped.
This is after Skynet. This is after Skynet. They're back in
when the wind blows its load.
Oh my god, imagine if that turned certificate 18. John Mills animated Bert coming on the sideboard as the fucking H-bomb drops. Oh dear, mother of made a spillage. Jesus Christ.
And his kink is just hair getting under mattresses. I can't come unless you get under the bath.
Oh, shift the Ajax over, would you? Oh.
Roger Waters forced to watch on with his acoustic guitar.
Oh God.
Yes.
Who wrote that? Raymond Friggs.
Where the wind blows its load.
By Raymond Friggs.
Jesus.
Creator of the Blow Man.
So they're all back in the pub. Yeah, we don't know how long it's been since
this is the
hole.
White bogeyman. Yeah, they're in the pub, and so we got Sid and Joni. They've now got both of their faces on all the posters.
Yeah,
I guess as a sign to show that they're happy again.
And Mr. Farquhar's working at the pub now.
He is. He's drying glasses. So he's left.
Why did he get fired though? He didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
No, you're right. He did nothing wrong at all, did he?
No, he went to a hotel that I assume was he'd been told was all finished and lovely, and it weren't. So it's not his fault. Maybe he just became disillusioned with the whole
industry,
travel industry. Yeah. They all come in, and Jack Douglas is in there, and he goes too far here.
Yes, he does. He really does.
Because he throws an entire pint on the floor. Instead of doing a spill, he goes, oh, yay! And then they all come in, and they're all happy and lovely and jolly, and then it just says... the end.
Now, I have to say that when in my student union-y days in the local bar, there was a game I used to play with a few of my friends where if one of us could convincingly spill an entire pint whilst doing a Jack Douglas, then you got free drinks the rest of the evening. Oh, so a lot of us would go to the student union bar and go, oh, I'll have a Nuki Brown, please, and then get it and go, thank you very much, A4, 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 and throw it everywhere. And then we get free drinks.
Anyway, so there we go. That's the end of Karen Abroad. What are your thoughts?
Oh, well, it's in my top three.
Of Carry-On films.
Yeah. Of Carry-On films. Mine is Carry-On at Your Convenience.
Yeah, mine's favourite, yeah.
Yeah, that's my number one. And then it's this one, and then it's Khyber. So it's Khyber, Abroad and Convenience. But then sometimes it can be a fourth that pops in. I'm one of those people that just, if they're always on ITV3 like every day. And if I accidentally stumble across my TV channel and one's on, I'm condemned to sort of have it on in the background even if I'm not watching it. I just go, oh, it's a Carry-On film. It's like air to me in a horrible way. I just have to have it on. So I've seen this so many times, but I do like this one in particular. There's lots I just can't fucking abide, but I love it.
Yeah. Same.
Dan.
It's tricky because you can't judge a Carry-On film against other films, just against other Carry-On films.
No.
So It whipped past because it's essentially a sketch show.
Yeah, it's like 83 minutes long or something stupid.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be my favourite because I really like the old black and white ones because there's kind of the... you know better than me. It feels like there's four ages of Carry On. There's the very early ones that are almost Ealing quality. Then it kind of finds its own thing in the mid-60s, but they're doing Carry On Khyber, which is probably my favourite because it's the one that feels most like a movie, really, as well. Mm. And then the Doctor's one. Then it gets into a sort of softcore.
Yeah.
This sort of... But it's not, because it's weirdly chased. You're right, at this point. You see an arse occasionally, but that's it. Nothing gets shoved in it.
Yeah.
And then there's the last... There's Carry On England that felt a little seedier, and then Carry On Manual is one I've never even seen.
Oh, my God. Well, you get to see the entirety of Ken Williams' bum in that, which is frightening.
Yeah. And as good an ad as that is...
And Joan Sims has sex in a laundrette, and that's very upsetting.
What, really? Like on camera, or is it implied?
Yes, no, they do. They don't, obviously, you know, you're not seeing anything major, but they are literally frolicking around in suds. Mm. They literally make Emmanuel's as filthy as a Carry-On can be. Yeah. Well, it's getting more confession-y type film, isn't it? It's suddenly turning into a confessions film. The early Carry-Ons, the black and white ones, aren't really bawdy. They're not about double entendre yet.
Carry-On Constable was a U, but you still see Leslie Phillips' ass.
Yes.
But it's but not in a sexual way.
But none of the characters, raison d'etre in all those films, are about trying to... I mean, there's a little bit of trying to meet someone, but it's mainly, you know, it's Carry On Spying is...
Yeah, it's romance. It's actually romantic, the love story. Yeah.
They're not actually trying to always have sex with everyone.
I think I prefer the black and white ones and then Carry On Up the Khyber in general.
Oh, Dan, you
prude. Carry On Jungle I quite like, and that's a little dirtier.
Oh, Jungle's disgusting. Jungle has the scene. Jungle has the scene with Joan Sims sat around to dinner in the jungle. They're all outside, and there's a snake going up her bloomers. And she is perfectly willing to accept that all the men sat around the table might be fingering her, apart from Kenneth Connor. So she's feeling a snake going up. They're going, "Oh, and you clearly know it's in naughty places." And then you get Sid James goes, "Lovely, isn't it?" And she's like, "Rather." And then he puts his hand over the table, and she's like, "Oh, it can't be him." And then Kenny Howard goes, "Oh, isn't it glorious?" And she's like, "Rather." So she's happily now for two separate men to finger her. And then suddenly Kenneth Connor goes, "Oh, I love this." And she's like, "How dare you?" So that's where she draws a line.
Yeah.
So the idea of it is disgusting.
Because he didn't wash his hands.
John, your thoughts?
Oh, well, I really like this. It's probably my second favourite. My favourite is Convenience, then this, then probably... I think I can't remember I get the names confused. It's the one with Jim Dale and Frankie Howard, the Doctor one.
Yeah,
I don't remember. First Doctor one.
Yeah. Again, Doctor or Nurse, again, or
it's
Matron.
The one where Jim Dale goes down the stairs on the gurney and Frankie Howard is got injected up the bum.
That's Doctor, flat, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's one of the
and
five.
And Joan Sims is in that as his, like, playing a prototype of that woman he'd have in his act, who was a bit blind and deaf, playing the piano.
Yes,
she's basically playing that. Yeah, it's just I like that one a lot. But I really like this. I think it's really fun. It's in the kind of on the buses sort of degree of films for me that I know is shit, but I still quite enjoy them.
Exactly. It's 1972. I mean, it just fits perfectly what it's trying to do.
It's 50 years old.
Yeah,
it is insane. You think about this was one of the biggest British productions of the year. The Americans and The Godfather. It's just with the same equipment, and the British made Carry On.
But we had an industry, Dan, in those days.
That's true. Yeah.
You can't even get a Carry On film made now.
No,
if you wanted to,
isn't that great?
unless they can grow the cast again, like in a Jurassic Park style.
Well, I mean, as we all know, we all got together many years ago to read the script of Carry On London.
We did, and we all wanted to kill us.
Bloody appalling.
Mm. Yeah. But I wonder if maybe we didn't have enough slide whistles.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I should have got some. But, you know, well, maybe we'll be back to talk about more, or we'll talk about something else that's not this. But until then, thank you so much, Paul Litchfield. And thank you so much, Dan Thomas. Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.